You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. On Monday, more than 300 new or amended laws went into effect here in Idaho, from lowering the age limit for carrying a concealed weapon to motorists being required to move over or slow down when approaching tow trucks or maintenance vehicles parked along roadways with lights flashing. This is only naming two. Joining us in studio to talk more about some of these laws and what they mean is Idaho State Representative Melissa Wintrow. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It is always good to have you here. So let's talk about the bills that really the Democrats championed and got behind, beginning with the, as if people are calling it, the move over law, which I just mentioned. So talk to me about, you know, the reasoning behind a law like this.
Well, really just is to increase safety. Representative McCrosty brought that bill and recognized that, you know, law enforcement isn't the only folks that are in danger if there is an accident on a highway or so forth. So really just, you know, makes us more aware of tow trucks and other emergency vehicles that might be along the road. Move over and slow down to make sure there are no more accidents, and safety is our first consideration.
And then the first responder bill, this was something that we've talked about numerous times here on the program, having Boise Fire Chief Dennis Stone talk about it a couple of times. So for people who may not be aware of this, you know, kind of give us some background about that, because Chief Stone, true advocate for this for many years.
Well, I can tell you a little personal background. I went through their fire ops training, and I had respect for them before that. But when you actually have to go in a burning building and you know it's just a test and you have a mentor to pull you out, I still didn't want to do it, and I was scared to death. These folks who are responding to emergencies, police, firefighters, et cetera, they go through traumatic events. And this is a simple bill to say we're going to cover under workman's comp, workers comp, to pay for and cover psychological trauma. So counseling and support, and really recognizing and normalizing, you know, they go through this, and how do we support them?
And what's interesting with that, too, is, you know, when we talked with Chief Doan about this, you forget that first responders are truly the first ones on the scene. So there are things that they see that no one should ever have to see. And then, as you said, there's this flip of, but you can't go get psychological help, because how can you be good at your job? But you're going to be better at your job.
Right. And PTSI is a very real psychological and physical response. And I have known people with PTSI, and I have seen physical responses when things happen that triggers them. So I'm just so pleased. This bipartisan effort, Representative Erpelding led the way on that, and got so much support in our legislature.
So one of the things that you've been a true advocate of, and that you spearheaded this bill, was the test all. So this is to make sure all rape kits get tested. But kind of take us back, because this has been a process.
Right. You know, legislation is a process. And in 2016, we introduced the first bill to set minimum standards for testing and processing and tracking sexual assault evidence. And at that time, we questioned, should we test all or not? So we wrote the language to set minimum standards. So that still left some discretion in the equation. And based on that, though, we said, hey, we're going to track this and see if we made the right decision. And based on that information, we recognized there could be some errors being made and potential bias sticking in. So we corrected the language, and now we're going to test everything except for very rare exceptions. And this is a great thing because it creates, again, consistent standards through the state, removes bias and judgment. We're all going to do it. And it really is a supportive measure for victims. If you're going to if you experience a sexual assault, one of the most traumatic things you'll ever experience, and then to actually go to a medical facility and have evidence collected off your body, traumatic. And if we don't use the evidence that we've collected, shame on us. Shame on us. So this tests it all with very rare exception, and it still provides the option for victims if they want to report anonymously, it won't be tested. So maybe somebody isn't ready to talk to police or, you know, go through an investigation, but they know they want to preserve the evidence. They can still do so by reporting it anonymously. They get a tracking number, and it's still in the system.
That's fascinating, because as we've seen historically, because we tend culturally, and this is changing, but to almost victim blame, right?
Right.
And so you question yourself.
Yeah.
Well, was it really a sexual assault?
Yes.
Right? So then if you are trying to talk yourself out of it, you're not going to do the rape kit.
I have to tell you, when I worked as a Women's Center Director at Boise State, one of the most common themes, people would describe brutal assaults to me, and they would not call it rape. It took a while. Again, that trauma that's impacting us, the victim shaming and the blaming, the coulda, shoulda, wouldas, as I call it, like I shouldn't have done this, I could have done that. We're blaming ourselves because of cultural expectations versus saying no one should cross a physical boundary without consent. And we put it on our own shoulders. So again, I think if folks are traumatized and they're not ready to report police, go ahead, get the test anonymously. We won't put it into the testing process, but we preserve it. So that was a second bill we passed in 2017 to set standards for preserving the evidence. And we have some of the best in the country. So we preserve anonymous kits for up to 10 years, all other kits 55 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's huge. It's great. We are leading the country in now the test all policy, the tracking mechanism. We're up to 30 states contacting our Idaho State Police now saying, hey, how can I get my hands on this? I had a candidate for the district attorney's office in San Francisco call me and say, we are serious about this. We need to talk about how you pass the legislation and this tracking mechanism. So I'm just so proud of the team and all the stakeholders who have worked on this.
So this is something, this test all then. This is fascinating that this is...
It's not the mean in the, in the country, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am so honored, proud, elated, excited that Idaho is leading the country on this, and we have talented, wonderful people at the table.
I'm talking with State Representative Melissa Wintrow. We're talking about the new and amended laws that took effect in Idaho on Monday, on July 1. More than 300 of them. We're not going to talk about all 300 because
darn,
I know we'd be here for a couple of days. So switching gears a bit, though, solar panels. This is really interesting. So this stops HOAs, homeowners associations, from restricting solar panels. Because if you think about, I didn't even think about this until I read this. I was like, oh, right. Because they restrict if you can park on the street. They restrict what color your house can be. So this is just kind of another level of that.
Yes. Well, Representative Rubel, who we know champions, you know, the issues to impact climate change, you know, really reducing those, she approached this legislation. And if you think about it, homeowners associations were looking at aesthetics of their communities.
Right.
And back in the day, these solar panels were big, bulky, unsightly, unseemly, et cetera. But, you know, now they're pretty discreet. You don't even know they're on somebody's roof. So it makes a lot of sense to allow somebody to choose how they want to power their homes and, you know, increase energy efficiency. So
I had Representative Erpelding on talking about wage theft when he was trying to get this through.
Right.
And so this passed. So talk to me a little bit about this, because it gives the workers longer time to claim these wages, yes?
Right. Well, you know, when people work hard for their money, we want to make sure they get paid.
Right.
Right. And typically what happens, I know for myself, when I get my, when it's time to do my taxes, I'm looking at my year's work. And many times people who have had wages stolen recognize it in that time period. Within that year, right now, before his law passed, you only had 6 months to tap your employer on the shoulder and say, hey, I'm missing wages. Now we have a whole year. And that makes a lot of sense, because some folks aren't seeing the big picture until they're doing their taxes. Right.
And
where
we do
did
that,
this go?
Right. And we do that once a year.
Right.
Another one, this, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, Noxoline. And this is allowing easier access to this. And this
right.
is for if you overdose, correct?
Correct. So this is naloxone, the availability for naloxone. And we know throughout the United States, there's an opioid crisis. And it's very easy to overdose on opioids and heroin. We recognize that people have a disorder, and we have to help with that in many ways. So this allows it to be easier to get a prescription for naloxone, which is a life-saving treatment if you're overdosing.
And this is something that anyone could get, correct? So if they see someone overdosing, I believe that's
correct.
Potentially how it could
right.
work.
I was thinking, like, if I'm a parent of somebody who has a
right.
sex abuse disorder, and I know they're going through transitioning, and they're trying to get counseling, and they're, you know, all that.
You want that in your house.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So e-bikes. This is clarifying the definition of an e-bike. And I was like, who knew we needed a definition? But okay.
Well, as times and technology changes, we have a formal definition of what a bicycle is, and that's physically powered. And I can tell you I know that because I rode my bike across the United States a few years back, 4,000
You physically powered that thing.
But now with, you know, onslaught of technologies, you can have a bicycle hybrid, right? And and so it's important to, you know, define that in code. So it helps with sales and basically where people ride them. And it allows for cities to actually decide in their ordinances where they're allowed. So I've seen some signs in our foothills that say, well, not here because of the weight and traffic and so forth, but you can have them here. So I think that's good.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in today and talking about this. There's a lot more to get to, but we covered quite a bit.
I do want to plug the pet-friendly license plate.
Oh, yes, very quickly.
Just quickly, it is High Clock spearheaded this. It is a fund to help spay-neuter programs throughout the state, especially low-income and rural Idaho. Get out there and get your pet-friendly plate.
Get your plates. Thank you so much. State Representative Melissa Wintrow. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.